I want to start this morning by telling you about two people, Joni and Stuart. Joni is your typical working mom, and she does all her work and service with a pleasant smile on her face. Nobody would call Joni the life of the party, but everybody loves being around her. She has a very normal life, and that's just the way she likes it. But Joni has a secret. When she was in college, she got pregnant, and that was not a happy discovery. She said to herself, "This is going to ruin everything." And her boyfriend gave her that same encouragement. And as Joni ran the scenarios through her mind of what she could possibly do, she landed and thought that the best option for her was to terminate the pregnancy. And so with the help of her boyfriend, she went and did just that. She got an abortion. And that decision has haunted her ever since that day. She always believed that abortion was wrong, but when in her own moment of crisis, she just didn't know what to do and ignored her conscience and moved forward with it. And that decision didn't make life easier like she hoped it would. In fact, it only made life harder. She broke it off with her boyfriend. She quit college. She started wondering, what would life be like if I didn't make that decision, if I still had my baby? And she could not shake the thought, God will never forgive me. Meeting her husband was a dream come true. He accepted her just as she was, and they started this new life together. And so she's tried her best to move on. And she's worked really hard day after day to be the best person she could possibly be, hoping somehow that that might make up for the decision that she made. But it's not working. She can't get past the guilt she feels, and she's convinced she will never be forgiven. Stuart has been married for 5 years. And after 5 years of marriage, it's starting to feel kind of ordinary, almost boring. But isn't that normal? Life isn't always going to be so exciting, is it? This is just the way things go. That's what he thinks. And so Stuart dutifully remains a faithful, loving husband and just accepts this change in life. But his wife, Jessica, she doesn't feel quite the same way. While Stuart commits himself to his marriage, Jessica begins exploring what she hopes might be better options. Stuart will never forget the day. He comes home and finds a note on the kitchen table. It's from Jessica. And what he reads stops the rotation of his world. Jessica says she's leaving him and moving on. When he's finally able to track her down, or maybe it's better said, when she's finally willing to take his call, she lets him know some of the details. That she's moved out into a new apartment with a coworker, her new man named Steve. And Stuart cannot believe this. He knows Steve. When he would stop into the office to see Jessica, he would say hello. Or when they were at a work party, he would shoot the breeze with Steve. And now she's left him for him. And a year later, nothing is the same. With no kids, the divorce was rather drama-free. He hasn't had any contact with Jessica for months. All he knows is that they are still together. And he hates it. And he hates them. And what's happening inside of him is changing the way he is. And his family, they can see it, and they tell him, you got to move on. You got to just forgive and forget. And Stuart says, I will not forgive, and I cannot forget. It would not surprise me much if many of us can identify quite strongly with either Joni or Stuart, maybe even both of them. I mean, on the one hand, it's quite common for many to think like Joni, that God would never forgive someone like me. You look at who you are, you look at what you've done, and you think, no way, no how. And so you just believe that there's no hope for someone like you. And so you settle into a kind of life that either works really hard to try to be as good as you possibly can to somehow make up for the things you've done, or you just kind of live a life of despair, not thinking it's ever going to get better. Or on the other hand, maybe some of you can relate more to Stuart. You have been hurt. You have been betrayed. And because of that, you are just filled with rage. You can't escape your bitter thoughts. And it infects every aspect of your life. I mean, before the pain, you were known as this kind of happy-go-lucky person. But now, you're just angry all the time. Because of that anger, you're not the person you want to be. But you don't want to forgive. You cannot think of a scenario where you would pass that forgiveness on. Withholding forgiveness feels like the way you can kind of get back at the person who hurt you. If you forgive, it's like saying it never happened, and it did happen. If you forgive, it's like saying everything's okay, and it's not okay. Friends, forgiveness is one of the most important things in life. It's also one of the hardest things in life. And today we're beginning a 4-week series called Forgiveness, Finding and Giving Grace. And no matter who you are, no matter where you're at, we all need to hear God's word concerning forgiveness. And if you're not feeling that need to hear, I'm hoping to even increase or intensify that sense of need by looking at our first passage, Matthew chapter 6. So why don't you grab a Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We have Bibles in the seats around, either in front of you or underneath you. Grab a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. These words are the words that Jesus spoke himself as he was teaching a crowd. We're going to read just two verses. I'll read, why don't you follow along with me. Jesus said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses," meaning sins, that's what trespasses are, "for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." If we can't find and give grace, we are not going to be the people that God is calling us to be. We're not going to be the people that we want to be. We're going to be incomplete. In the Lord's Prayer, which is right in the passage before ours, the passage right before the one that we just read, is the teaching of Jesus on the Lord's Prayer. And one of the things that we see in Jesus' teaching is that forgiveness is supposed to be a part of our regular routine of prayer because it's a regular need that we have. Jesus knows this, of course, and says, okay, because forgiveness is so important, you need to make sure that it's a part of your daily routine of prayer to God. And then what he does after he teaches on prayer is he circles back to that need in verse 14 and says, let me tell you a few more things about forgiveness because it's so important. And that's what we see in verses 14 and 15. And I'm guessing you caught, I'm hoping you caught, the importance of forgiveness in those two verses. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to highlight for you three critical aspects about forgiveness. And then what we're going to do is we're going to touch on some misunderstandings that we have about forgiveness. And so first of all, the first thing we see in verses 14 and 15 is that we need God's forgiveness. Like, we need it. Jesus says in verse 14, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses, your sins." Can you see here? Do you notice how God is motivating his people to offer forgiveness by reminding us that that's when we will experience forgiveness too? It's almost like this carrot on a stick. And the reason why that's significant is because forgiveness is so important. We must have God's forgiveness. I'm hoping not to confuse you right now. I have a way of doing that. But I'm going to make some important distinctions right now. But what I'm about to say might seem a little off to some of you. But there is a sense in which being forgiven from our sin should feel totally impossible. There is a perspective that should make us think that being forgiven will always be outside of our reach. Now, let me just state very clearly, very emphatically, God does forgive. And he can and will forgive you because of Christ. And if you're willing to embrace Christ for your life, no one is beyond the reach of God's forgiving grace. But there is a sense in which forgiveness should feel impossible. There's an angle at looking at our sin where we should rightly conclude, well, there's no hope for me. And the reason for that, friends, is forgiveness is always a miracle that feels outside of our grasp. It's a miracle that we can't achieve on our own. And because forgiveness requires the miracle-working power of God, it should feel as unlikely as a blind man seeing, as a lame woman walking, or as a dead person being resurrected from the grave. True forgiveness is part of the realm of God, and we are not there. I was reminded of the story when some buddies took their paralyzed friend and lowered him through the roof right in front of Jesus, right with the hope that Jesus would heal him. And Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Those religious leaders, the enemies of Jesus, were just incredulous, like, "Who do you think you are? Nobody can forgive sins. God alone." Our need, friends, for God's forgiveness should look like a mountain we could never climb, because it is a mountain we can never climb. And I know some of you might be struggling to believe that God can forgive you, and you're like, "Brian, you're not helping me right now," right? And I know, and I'm going to circle back, and I'm going to talk with you in a minute, but I first have to talk to others of us here who have the opposite problem. Because some of us here might just think something like, "Well, of course God will forgive me. I mean, why wouldn't he forgive me? I haven't done anything that bad. My mom forgives me pretty easily, and so, you know, why wouldn't God forgive me?" Friends, when we think such things, we are not seeing ourselves very accurately. And just how significantly we have broken the law of God, how we have dishonored him. If we think such things, we do not see God's holiness rightly, that he is a perfect, pure God who cannot tolerate even looking at sin, let alone dwelling with people who are sinners. He is not worthy of our worship if he does not punish sin. And that's a problem for us, because that's who we are. We are sinners. But now let me encourage you, for those of you struggling to believe that God has grace for you, just because your sin is a mountain too great for you to climb to find forgiveness, it is not too great for God to climb. And that's where our hope for forgiveness comes from. Our hope for forgiveness isn't grounded. It's not based in our ability to somehow find it, to somehow work for it, to somehow earn it. No, our hope for forgiveness is based on God's ability, God's grace to overcome and cover our sin. And friends, when we experience that reality, that's when the love of God comes ushering into our hearts. That's why we gather together happily, Sunday after Sunday, worshiping God because of his glorious grace. And we sing, right? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Friends, we all need God's forgiveness. And I'm happy to report, and I'm going to be happy to share with you in the coming weeks, God is glad to give it as well. The second thing I want you to notice is that Jesus also tells us that we need to forgive others too. Look at verse 15. It says, if we fail or refuse to forgive others, we will not receive the forgiveness of God. And we just got done talking about how we need God's forgiveness. We need it. But without forgiving others, God won't forgive us. And so what's the conclusion we should make? Well, one of them is we really need to learn how to forgive, and we need to want to or offer forgiveness, being willing to forgive. Now, did you notice how I phrased that? That the forgiveness is a matter of our will, our want to, but it's also something we must learn. You know, some of us don't forgive because we really don't know how to forgive. We really don't even know what forgiveness means. We haven't learned about forgiveness. And I just want to kind of challenge you to think right now, if forgiveness is in the realm of God and it gives us access an understanding of who God is, don't you think that our enemy would love to distort our picture of forgiveness? I think so. And friends, as I kind of scan the cultural landscape and hear the thoughts that many have about what forgiveness means, I'm often surprised at how it doesn't match what God's word says. And so I'm going to be happy through the course of this sermon series to try to clear up some of those misunderstandings. And so we have to learn about forgiveness, but then there's also this want to. And you know, if we're honest, many of us, we really don't want to offer forgiveness. But there's good news for that too. And the good news is that God can change our want to. That's what happens when we're born again. When God comes and saves us from our sins, forgiving us of our sins, and his Spirit dwelling inside of us, he changes us on the inside. He changes our wants. And the things that we used to hate, we now love. And the things that we used to love, we now hate. Because God changes us on the inside. Always comes from God and his grace. So the second thing we need to see from verses 14 and 15 is that we need to offer forgiveness to others. Here's the last thing, real briefly. That there is a direct correlation or connection between God's forgiveness of us for our sins and our forgiveness of others for theirs. When we talk about giving grace later on, we're going to spend a lot of time touching on this issue. That forgiveness is a package deal. And here's how it's a package deal. We either receive and celebrate God's forgiveness for our own sins, which in turn produces grace for others for the sins that they've committed against us, or we live pridefully rejecting or refusing God's forgiveness of our sins, which of course closes our hearts to our willingness and desire to offer grace to others. And I'm going to spend a time helping you see that connection from the scriptures here in the coming weeks. Now, what I want to do with the remainder of our time is I want to briefly discuss some of these misunderstandings that I think we have about forgiveness. And so let's start with this one. Forgive and forget. How many of you have been told you just got to forgive and forget? Anybody out there get that advice? Yeah, most of us have gotten the advice, you got to forgive and forget. And I would say that's probably the mother load of bad advice on forgiveness. All right? Forgiveness is not forgetting. And quite frankly, it's one of the main reasons why many of us don't forgive others. We just cannot imagine forgetting what's been done to us. We cannot imagine a scenario where the hurt that we experienced would somehow be forgotten. In fact, in many grievous situations, I would say it's impossible to forget. And when we can't forget, we presume we can never forgive because we've been told, you got to forgive and forget. But that's a mistake. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. Now, let me tell you what the correct intuition is behind forgive and forget. The correct intuition is that when we forgive another person, the sin and the pain that we've experienced is swallowed up by the grace of God, whereby we live our lives now no longer defined by the sin and the pain that we have, but instead we live defined by the grace that has overcome the sin. Do you see? That's a huge difference. A huge difference. True forgiveness does not forget what has been done. It instead adds this layer of grace, adds a layer of truth and healing that we didn't have before. That's more powerful than the sin that created the pain. I want to illustrate this for you. I have a picture here of a woman. Her name is Rachel Denhollander. Rachel is a survivor of the hideous sexual abuse perpetrated by Larry Nassar from Michigan State, and all wrapped up in that USA Gymnastics scandal. Rachel gave a spellbinding testimony at Nassar's sentencing hearing that lasted 40 minutes long. Rachel, in fact, was the first woman to go public with accusations against Larry Nassar, which, of course, encouraged many other women to come out and also state what had happened to them. She's also a lawyer, so she kind of fits right into this kind of a context. And thankfully, she's someone who's trusting the Lord Jesus for her own forgiveness and also for the strength to forgive Larry Nassar. We're going to play a video here for you in a minute. I want you to do a couple of things. As you listen, remember where she's at and remember who she's talking to. She's talking to the person who robbed her innocence when she was a young teenage girl. And she's also talking in a court of law before a watching world. And I want you to pay very close attention to how she is able to offer grace, yet at the same time remembers very vividly everything that had taken place. So let's roll that video clip. It's pretty powerful, isn't it, to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ be put into action, real life, real pain, real struggle. And did you notice how grace covered sin, but not in a way where sin was forgotten? Rachel was willing and able to offer grace, but she has keen awareness, and I'm guessing, friends, always will, of exactly what Nassar had done. What happened, instead of forgetting, again, like we had mentioned before, was that grace covered, swallowed up it in such a way where we can see and recognize that what man meant for evil, God has turned and meant for good. And Rachel now is shining the light of Christ more brightly in her life because of Christ. It's an amazing thing. So forgiveness, it's not forgetting. It's not forgetting. Forgiveness also doesn't equal reconciliation. Forgiveness does not equal reconciliation. Now, forgiveness and reconciliation are linked pretty closely together, but they are not the same thing. And there are times when forgiveness should be granted, is granted, but where reconciliation doesn't necessarily take place. And I think one of the reasons why people struggle, again, offering forgiveness to others, is because they think that the relationship has to go back to the way things were before. And again, because of the trauma that's been experienced through the sin, it's just inconceivable of how the relationship can be restored and reconciled. Well, I'm here to tell you that forgiveness is not reconciliation. They go together oftentimes, and sometimes it can happen, and sometimes we want it to happen. But there is also, friends, a reality that sin changes relationships in such a way where there cannot be reconciliation. An example that I like to give that kind of gives me a, well, of course, is an example about church and money. So let me give you an example. Imagine a church treasurer entrusted with managing a church's finances. Let's imagine that person is caught embezzling money, stealing the money from the church. Such things happen, sadly. It's why we work so hard here at First Baptist to make sure that those who handle our money are people of character. Also, those people of character have lines of accountability and appropriate checks and balances, because such things are really traumatic for churches. A trust has been violated. Healing comes, you know, rather slowly. And so question, should forgiveness be given in such a situation? I would say yes, of course. We want to offer forgiveness. We want to extend grace. I mean, how can we who have received grace from God not give grace to someone who has sinned? Does that mean that this church treasurer is going to be church treasurer again when they say they're sorry? I don't think so, right? Not while I'm here. That's not going to happen. Friends, because the relationship now has been changed, it's altered because of the sin. Now, someone might say, well, but I thought you said you forgive that person. Well, we do. But again, forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. And so that's because sin has a way of changing and altering the nature of a relationship, sometimes forever. It's not that we don't and can't extend grace. It's just that things are now different. And so I want to encourage you, please take this into account as you think about your own journey of forgiveness. The final misunderstanding that we make about forgiveness is thinking it's merely a decision we make. It is a decision, but it's not merely a decision. Because when we think that forgiveness is a decision we make, we wrongly think it's a matter of our own willpower, our own strength and power. It's not that. Forgiveness is a work of God. It's a miracle of God. Friends, for you to experience the forgiveness of God, that's a miracle of His grace. You've broken His law. You have spit in God's face when you sin. But God, out of mercy for you, sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross so that His sacrifice could cover your sins. And friends, that is a unilateral gift. You do nothing to earn that gift. God gives it to you, and all you do is, with gratitude, receive it with joy. That's what you do. He's the worker of forgiveness. You're the recipient of that gift. And it's also a miracle of his grace for you to forgive other people, too. And the reason for that is, friends, again, as we'll show you here in the next number of weeks, we only forgive others because of the forgiving grace of God working in our own heart. It's always a miracle of God's grace. I'd like you to think of doing something for me this week, doing something for you. Especially if you're here this morning, you're thinking, man, I need this. Like, I am really struggling. I'm struggling believing that God would forgive me. I'm struggling with the strength to forgive others. Here's what I'd like you to do. Would you be willing to spend time this week, every day, in prayer, asking God to help you believe that He wants to perform this miracle of grace in your life? Would you be willing to at least do that? You know, forgiveness is this journey, and we'll talk more about this next Sunday. And to cross the finish line, some of you are like, I can't even imagine yet experiencing that forgiveness. I get that. But are you willing to take the first step? And that first step would be looking to God, asking Him to change you in such a way where you would experience the grace to be forgiven and to extend forgiveness to others. That would be a great first step in your journey of forgiveness. And I want to encourage you to do that. I also know that forgiveness is a hard journey to walk alone. So don't walk it alone. If you need help, come and talk to us. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to help you and encourage you. Maybe there's a sister in Christ. Maybe there's a brother in Christ that you could say, you know, I think I'm going to, you know, get up the nerve to tell them what I'm struggling with, and that they'd just pray for me. Just even if they'd pray for me and know what's happening. You know, friends, don't walk this journey alone. It's too hard. And next week, we're gonna dive deeply into the heart of forgiveness, which is the character and mercy of our great God. That's God's word for us today.